Did you know that's my mama? Meet the Jefferson, Sanford and Son, all in the family. We too close for comfort, got different strokes like drummers. No one coming if we call in a taxi. Dang, wouldn't stop for us, that ain't right. But it happens when you black, these are the facts of life. So give me a break, because how much more can I take of this stuff? Three's company with six kids in the Brady Bunch. Room 227, mama's family, where eight is enough. You want fame? From rags to riches came up. One day at a time, even in the ghetto where it can get grimy, we find ways to have good times. Won't serve like Benson, and he was just acting out. Better own you something, that's what's happening now. It's a different world than you're used to, you must know. Most of us don't grow up like the Huxtables. You're watching every episode, but yo, don't take it literal. I know you get the message, yo, that life is not a TV show. Life's not like a TV show, TV show. Life's not like a TV show.
Please, read from sheets. I am. Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am Sofa King.
Faster.
I am Sofa King.
No, not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am Sofa King with retard.
You say funny thing.
Welcome to the Sofa King podcast. This is not the radio edition. Don't listen to it at work, because we'll say shit like balls and cunt.
I'm going to say so many bad words.
You know, yeah. If you don't know how we do this, we record our radio episode first before we actually do our web episode. So we're just loaded with all kinds of cuss words.
Yeah, because once you turn the cuss engine on, it's really hard to turn it off. So we record the radio-friendly one first, because once that door opens, it's really fucking hard to shut it.
Yes.
I'm going to put a quarter jar on the table, and every time a cuss word drops, I'm just going to clang a coin into it. See how it works out.
Fuck shit, damn. Motherfucker cocksucker. Motherfucker cocksucker. You don't have enough change for me, bitch. All right, that didn't work out. He's out of change.
That's right.
That was my whiskey glass. Those are soggy pennies.
They're now whiskey pennies.
Yeah. Now pour whiskey into your glass and drink it with the pennies in there.
Ooh.
Isn't that like a something mule? That's a drink already.
Copper mule.
No,
there's a Moscow mule. But Moscow mule involved change.
Copper cup.
Yeah.
It's the poor man's Moscow copper mule. Cup. You just put a penny in there.
It's a copper cup, and then you put ginger beer and something else.
It gives it a weird taste. Like you drink out of a metal cup.
It gives it like a penny taste. Yeah. I would assume. Mm-hmm.
But with this particular, I forget what else is in it. It's ginger beer and then like a hard alcohol, and I can't remember what it is.
Ginger beer.
It's like some ginger ale, but it's fermented, so it's actually beer. It's supposed to be really good.
Ginger beard.
Something weird, like how things complement flavors, like salt and vinegar. That's horrible, but if you eat those chips with a sandwich, it's decent.
Yeah, guess what? I don't like it still.
You're picky.
I love it. It's delicious.
I'm not picky.
You are really picky.
No.
Okay.
I'm not. What are we talking about?
Television.
We are talking about television.
What about it, Dave?
What about it? What about television? It's a pretty broad topic, so we were all wanting to go into it. So we're pretty much done. Television, you turn it on, you turn it off. Yeah. They're expensive, they're cheap, you buy them.
People sleep to it.
I know that it was supposed to rot your brain when I was little. Turns out true. Damn it.
One of the things that I was really interested in is exactly how much people watch television, because I really don't. I mean, I watch
at the most,
if I'm like binge watching something, I might watch three episodes in a day.
Yeah. And I think we talked about this in our cutting cable episode is how little we watch TV, actually, all of us. So.
But it's like, I know people, I mean, friends of mine, it's like the instant they wake up, the TV in their living room is on and it does not turn off until they go to sleep. Like it'll be on when they go to work.
Yeah.
Just people for are background coming noise.
In and, yeah. And it's like, it's just all, there's TV on 24 hours a day. And I'm not like that.
I don't watch TV per se. I just binge watch a show. Like I'll knock out four episodes.
For the sake of today's conversation, I think it's important to also call that TV.
So Netflix counts?
I would count Netflix. You're still watching a produced episodic show, whether it's on a television set, over the air, through cable, on Netflix, whether you're watching it on your phone, you're still watching a show that was produced in this television format of being under an hour, probably space for ads, unless it's just purely Netflix. But you're either dealing with a 30-hour or a 30-minute or a one-hour episodic show. I think we can still call that television. Yes.
So because we talked about how little we watched television, of course, naturally, we're going to talk about television.
Right. So, it's one of the most important mediums in the world, you know, and definitely in America. A couple of years ago, I would have said it's the number one medium, but I think the interwebs give it a run for its money. But when I was looking into it, like, I always wonder, what impact does television have on kids? Because I see a lot of people who basically use the television as a second parent. It's just the TV's always on.
Go watch TV.
You know, give them a tablet and have them watch YouTube videos. Just like, here you go. Just watch something and leave me alone so I can fucking do something else.
Yeah.
But some of the stats I read that were crazy, kids under six watch an average of 2 hours of screen media a day.
I bet it's more than that.
That's the average.
Yeah.
Kids under age.
Is that
six
in the United States? Yeah. Do we know?
This is in the United States.
Okay.
Poor people don't have internet, so
they do. I just saw someone posted a receipt with 4 lobsters and 2 porterhouse steaks and a 12-pack of Mountain Dew, and at the bottom it was
EBT.
It was EBT.
So
go get your EBT cards.
The other thing is, children's age 2 to 5 spend 32 hours a week in front of a television.
That's a lot.
Yes. 32 out. That's like almost. That's like a 3/4 time job. That's the average.
Yeah.
So for every family that doesn't have a TV, that average has to be lopsided on the other end by a family who watches it 60 hours, like a kid who watches it 60 hours a week. Right.
And I read a thing that if that kid
donut eating son is
if
in
the
there
kid
watching TV.
Actually has a TV in their bedroom, it increases that by 1.5 hours per day. If the TV is actually in the bedroom.
Right. And if we're adding stat to stat, 71% of 8 to 18-year-olds have a TV in their bedroom. 71%.
My kids don't, but that's probably only because I'm poor. I probably would have bought them one, but now I won't.
Both of my kids do.
Really?
Yep.
You're so rich.
But they don't have cable, though.
Yeah, they have internet. They have one has an Apple TV and the other one has a smart TV.
I think there's something to be said, though, to differentiate between cable television and actual internet programming, because this is the difference. The whole cable
TV, no commercials.
TV is just feeding weird consumerism stuff to them and all kinds of just crazy stuff that you really don't get to pick and choose from. It's like, oh, dad, get these fruit roll-ups and that Trix yogurt, and I need this new Tonka truck, and take me to see this movie. If they're just watching Netflix and you're getting to kind of pick what they're watching, it's probably not as adverse. I mean, it's not good for them to veg out like that, but it's not.
Well, you're at least eliminating the advertising factor, right, which is one of the huge negatives towards children, is they're so easy to manipulate that these advertisements. I mean, the ads that they show to adults, it's like you look at it and it's fucking obvious. Like, oh, that was sentimental. There's music playing and they showed a diamond and this couple just hugged. And I know exactly what you're doing, advertiser. And it either worked or it didn't, but I can at least be conscious of what they're doing. But a kid, they don't have the cognition to realize they're being manipulated.
Yeah.
So it gets to be a little bit worse. So I think you're right.
When my daughter comes in wanting the blue pill so that she can have sex with her wife in the bathtub on the beach, there's fucking problems.
There is,
you know what I mean?
And you can't get away from it. It's like a friend of mine who I work with, he had a daughter, and he and his wife, they don't really watch TV. They've got one small TV in their living room. It comes on a couple hours a week, probably.
It's monochrome.
They just don't watch television. They never have been. They're not a big TV family. Their daughter never watched television. She was never influenced by that whole media side of the world, and they were very happy about the entire situation. There was one day, however, where she overnight wanted Dora the Explorer everything. And what day was that?
Cinco de Mayo.
Just the first time she ever watched TV, apparently? Or
the first time she went to school.
Oh, yeah.
So even in this non-mediated household, the day she went to school, it didn't fucking matter anymore. Yeah. You can restrict your kid from anything you want to. The day she started first grade, she was immersed in hundreds of children who were mediated and swallowed the door of the Explorer
pill. It doesn't matter.
And it doesn't matter anymore. She was sheltered. Now she's kind of worse off because she doesn't fit in with any of her friends because she doesn't even know who the fuck Dora the Explorer is.
Yeah, right? So I'm going to... Something I had that goes perfectly along with that was the good things about television were because of its ability to create powerful touchstones, TV enables young people to share cultural experiences with each other. So that would be the Dora the Explorer would be the cultural experience that the kids have. And they share with
there's definitely positive stuff. Like the Dora thing, they learn Spanish and it's educational. But I did see a lot of stuff about like comparisons. And it's kind of funny. I was talking to someone at the coffee shop across the street talking about what we were going to do on this podcast. And the programming aimed and geared towards kids right now, if you look at it, it's super fast-paced, quick, crazy, just flashing colors, super hyperactive versus like Mr. Rogers back in the day.
Yeah.
And the problem that happens is even watching something like Dora, like they're really trying to get your attention. It's super brightly colored. Like their worry is that it can cause like ADHD later in life because of the brain getting used to the super bright – attractiveness of certain things, flashy colors, hyperactive, fast-paced, action-based stuff. When you go to school, they just hold up a card and they're like, 2 + 2, like, look at this. And they're like, man, I need more.
Yeah, but if you go into a classroom, there's all kinds of different colors up, you know what I mean? Things all over the walls, like there's things everywhere. Now they have, you know, their computers connected to a board and they show movies.
And they've probably had to adapt to that stuff to hold the attention of the kids, well, I bet.
I never had attention when I was in school. You know what I mean? Like I had ADD and I couldn't pay attention.
Were you a TV kid though? I mean, do you think it contributed to that? Like from personal experience?
I don't think so at all. I probably watched less TV than anybody. I'd rather go outside.
Well, that's good.
And I mean, I watch TV, but it didn't affect me in the way that I was like just stuck watching TV or I had to watch a certain program or, you know, Ninja Turtles came on and I have to go sit there and watch it. Like it wasn't like that.
But
like,
I mean, it was so much different when we were kids.
It was.
I mean, I'm even older than you guys. So, I mean, it was even another stage different from when I was a kid. I mean, when I was a kid, if you wanted to watch cartoons, that meant wake up Saturday morning.
Yeah.
The rest of the time,
your
you can go fuck yourself. There are no cartoons.
Yeah.
There's nowhere for me to go. I mean, I can watch some sort of action cartoons after school Monday through Friday. I can watch a block of cartoons every Saturday morning on the big three networks, period, end of discussion.
Yeah.
So especially when you talk about that one positive that there's like this cultural bond. I mean, I remember when I was a kid, if I showed up on Monday, every single kid in my class watched that same cartoon on Saturday. We all watched that Albert. We all watched that Smurfs. We all watched
Heathcliff.
So there was this culture.
You guys remember Heathcliff?
I do remember Heathcliff.
The Junkyard Cat. Yeah.
There was like this cultural bond that television gave us, but now I don't know that that's valid, man. One day I was doing this in my class. I was talking, I mentioned, this was a couple of years ago when American Idol was the number one show on television, like by a huge margin. American Idol was huge. So
they're done finally. This is the final year, yeah.
So I asked my class, how many of you guys, I made an American Idol reference and I asked, you know, and like no one really got it. And I said, how many of you guys watched American Idol? And this is a wide range of, you know, economic profiles, ethnic profiles, everything. And I said, like, how many of you guys watched American Idol? Number one show on television. Like 3 or 4 people raised their hand. And I was like, okay, well, that's kind of odd. And I was like, okay, so, and I knew the number two show was one of the CSIs. And I was like, how many of you guys watched CSI last night? That's the number two show on television. 2 or 3 people raised their hand. And I was like, okay, how many of you guys weren't watching television? And a chunk of them raised their hands. I was like, how many of you guys were playing video games? And, you know, maybe 10 of them raised their hands. And I was like, so how many of you guys played Call of Duty, number one game that year? And like 2 people raised their hand. I mean, I couldn't find more than 3 people. Everyone in the room had gotten into the media. They either watched a show, you know, and then someone was like, oh, and I was like, well, then what did you guys watch? And one of them was like, I watched South Park. And I was like, okay, so South Park was on last night. And they were like, no, I bootlegged it. And someone else was like, no, I just watched one on YouTube. And it's like, I mean, there was no continuity.
You know what I think it is? The guilt factor. Nobody listens to Nickelback. They sell millions of albums. Nobody shops at Walmart. No one wants to. No, Target. Yeah. No, I don't shop at Walmart.
It's Target.
Clearly, people shop at Walmart and listen to Nickelback. And clearly, nobody, if American Idol, yeah, American Idol is the number one show, everybody's listening or watching it.
Yeah.
Right.
I think they're just like not raising their hand about watching American Idol in the middle of a college class.
Well, they were reluctantly raising their hand about everything, but eventually they were all raising their hand about something, but everyone raised their hand about something completely different than anybody else.
You look on the other end of the spectrum, you know, I have a 6-year-old and a 9-year-old, and, you know, if
69,
yeah, she doesn't get her monster high. Thanks, Brent. You fucking asshole.
It's all right. Balls water payback.
Yeah.
29 episodes later, I finally got you.
That's okay. I'll date your daughter when she's old enough.
Thanks. Wow.
I'm just playing, by the way. Or am I? So my daughter, you know, they're into whatever their friends are into. You know, they're watching Monster High. They're watching, you know, they want the backpack. They want the dolls for Christmas. They want the phone with the game on it, you know, and it they're all tied in together. Whatever their friends are into, that's what they're into. They want high top Converse or Vans or whatever, not their low top ones, because the low top ones aren't cool anymore.
That's a good point. So, even if you don't let your kids watch TV, like Dave said, they get to school and they're going to see what the cool kids have.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, I guess that's true. So it's cool, just going to be more micro cultures.
Yeah.
Now, because it's like it used to be everybody did the same thing and thought it was cool, but now there's going to be 20 different cliques that watch 20 different shows.
I remember being stressed about shoes, dude. Like, kids would make fun of you. Had XJ900 Payless shoes. Like, I had some drama with that.
Yeah.
Right.
I did too. And I had a pair of Nikes, and they were like the canvas ones. And they weren't even, mine weren't Nikes. Mine were like Eastsides or something from Payless. But they looked just like the Nikes, just didn't have the Nike, you know, embroidery on them. And I would tell everybody they're Nikes, and they're like, "No, they're not." I'm like, "Yeah, they are." And I got no fights.
Who cares?
Over,
you know? The kids will call you out. Yeah,
right.
And I had my mom saved up her money and got me some British Knights, and I went to the public pool to swim.
BKs.
Yeah, and they were hanging in the little clothing bag thing or whatever, and they totally got stolen. And I didn't think about it. I was young. And then I told my mom, and she was like super upset because like it was a big deal to get those.
They're expensive.
And then all we could do is get like the Payless British Knights that were like red and black speckled, you know, look like them.
Yeah, back then to pay $80 for shoes, it was like insane. Yeah. Now it's like that's what everybody's buying their kids, nothing. You know.
You had to wear the Irish Squires. You couldn't afford British Knights.
The Irish Squires.
What is that?
You couldn't afford joking. British Knights. You
the Irish Squires. I get it.
Right. So, but the other thing was that what the fuck was I going to say?
Were British Knights totally like blood killer black gang shoes?
That was what
they were blood killers is what they used
to be. It's like British Knights is the whitest thing you could possibly be.
Pretty much.
Yeah. British, shit, huh?
Yeah.
Like the K-Swiss were the ugliest freaking shoes ever.
It's just because they adopted it because it was like blood killer is why.
Yeah,
so let me throw out one more stat going back to the children influence. According to the same studies that I read, most 2-year-olds or 2 and under still watched on average 2 hours a day. So babies basically are watching 2 hours of television a day or some sort of media. But the American Academy of Pediatrics recommends, what do you think their recommendation is for how many hours children under 2 should watch?
4.
Zero.
Their recommendation is 0. Kids under 2, according to them, for their cognitive development should be watching nothing. And then they said that kids older than 2, I think it was 2 to 6, they recommended that they watch no more than 1 or 2 hours a day of quality programming. So then I think you're talking about something like Dora the Explorer, where it teaches you stuff. It's not just crap, you know, action Ninja Turtle junk. It's like something that's actually still educational. So that's what the expert, you know, pediatric doctors recommend.
My issue with that is that if a 2-year-old or under can sit there and watch 2 hours of TV, like that's pretty impressive.
It is a problem though, because it's impressive that they can do it. They're smart. No one's saying they're not smart and able to observe.
I'm saying attention span wise, there's kids that can't.
The problem that happens
is
it leads to ADHD, because there's certain neural development that occurs between ages 0 and 2. You know, just like anything else.
I don't know about that.
Studies are done. There's tons of studies.
There's lots of studies that you're born with being gay or you're not born with being gay, but it doesn't make it true. Nobody knows.
This is what the studies say, that the prolonged exposure to rapid imagery during those critical periods of brain development can cause high levels of stimulation and then leading to attention issues later in life. So the study actually showed that for each hour per day that children watched, they increased their chance of attention issues later in life by 10%. So if a child watched 2 hours of television per day before the age of three, they had a 20% greater chance to have attention issues.
I can just, maybe
in that,
that's
in that range. Maybe, after three, it can be beneficial, actually, yeah, if the content is right.
And maybe, I mean, when my kids were young, I had them watch The Baby Einstein, where it does all the different music and classical music and changes colors and shapes and all this stuff.
There's some studies done to that, though. Before that age, it's actually not beneficial. Think about it this way.
My kids don't have any issues at all.
No, I'm sure. I mean, but, and it's per case, but in general, it's not good for them. And so think about this. Think if it's really important before age two, you teach your kid to walk, right? If you didn't focus on walking at all and you just handed them a controller and tried to teach them Tetris or something, then their brain would develop and acclimate with skills acclimated towards Tetris and like block solving. But meanwhile, they couldn't walk as good as the other child because you didn't focus that.
I don't know about that because I think it's in our nature. When you see other people walking, kids try and walk.
Like, if everybody in the house sat down though and didn't walk, I'm just saying like the complete extreme and didn't focus on that learned ability.
That's not a common scenario though.
Like, no, but I'm just using the extreme to show that.
Yeah, but if you're gonna give me some sort of stat that says that, like, and then you can't prove it in a non-extreme way, then it doesn't make sense to me.
Well, there's certain things in life that happen in certain periods of life when you develop.
Oh, I understand that.
So you have to cater to those. So, like, you know, the cognitive, like, language functions and motor skills are all those neurons are created. Yeah. And then what happens is they prune themselves. Like, after age three to age five, they peel back and neurons and stuff fade back away, and they leave specialized behaviors so that they're very skilled in those things that are important in their environment.
Yeah.
So and if they like that. Watching Baby Einstein, like you, I've watched thousands of hours of Baby Einstein. My daughter totally watched it and she's awesome. She's a really good student and whatnot. And we totally let her watch Baby Einstein. But if you look at the content, it's like, oh, a cow. Oh, some toy red ball thing shooting across and classical music. And it's just like it's to capture their attention and quick screenshots and stuff. But that being said, like sometimes I feel like my kids do have trouble focusing on any one thing for very long.
I just
because
think
they're kids,
but maybe. At the same time, I mean, I've read a lot of the studies that say that talk about how bad television is for kids of a certain age because of deficiencies in attention, et cetera. But I mean, I just have to think about the way the human brain works. If you have a kid, 1 year old, 2 years old, 4 years old, and you spend 2 hours a day reading to them, that's 2 hours a day of them bonding with a parent and with them having social interaction and reading facial cues and doing things that are far more meaningful for their attention span, for their socialization. But if they're just sitting there watching cows fly through space with fucking Beethoven music playing, it's like, yeah, their brain is really getting acclimated to dropping acid when they're 16.
Wow, man.
I'm not sure that I would say that 2 hours a day is even necessarily going to be harmful, but I know people that do a hell of a lot more than 2 hours, you know?
I think it's person by person basis because the kid that's going to have ADHD is going to have it anyway.
Maybe.
I don't think it's going to be
genetic
TV.
Predetermined things.
Well, there is.
Yeah.
In my mind, and you could think whatever you want.
We can't trust you because you have ADHD.
I don't have ADHD. I have ADD. Steve, who's been on here a couple of times, has ADHD. And still, he's an adult and has it.
He's brilliant 30 seconds at a time.
Yeah.
Right.
But I don't think any amount of TV did that to him. Because
right.
His son is the same way. He has a son that's exactly like him. And he's different in a sense, but he's more into the iPad, more into a TV, watches wrestling, all these things, you know. And I don't think if he had that or not, it would make any difference. He chooses to do that stuff because that's what his brain likes and that's what he wants to do.
See, but I disagree. I think it would make a difference. I fully understand the genetic component and there's not much of a way to get around that. And I mean, it gets to the old debate, nature versus nurture.
Yeah.
Is it genetics? Is it socialization? Yeah. And in most cases, anything I study, I tend to think it's both. I mean, if you've already got a genetic genetic predisposition towards an attention deficit. And then you watch a bunch of TV, that's just going to multiply it. And I think the other thing is, I mean, I agree that it's a case by case, but a good academic study is going to look at 20,000 cases.
Okay.
And it is case by case, but when I get all these cases together, I see patterns emerging.
And I'm sure about that, that there is something, you know, that has something to do with that. But like myself, it's hard for me to sit down and watch a 1 hour show without being distracted. Mm-hmm. So if I was so infatuated with the TV, you would think I'd be able to focus on that if that's what gave me the disorder.
It's the point being is that your level of expectation of stimulation is so high that even that show, if it gets slow or drags at all, if people aren't getting stabbed, killed, smashed, and shit ain't blowing up, you're like, I'm going to go look for something else.
I agree with you. You're right.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. We keep raising the bar on this stuff. You know, like you got the crazy D-box chairs.
This shit needs to get more exciting in this motherfucker.
Smell-o-vision and vibrating chairs at the theater and shit swarming around. You know what I mean? Like, are you going to want to just go like sit in some uncomfortable chair at the crappy theater that's not vibrating, moving, and blowing wind in your face?
Okay. I mean, I had my nephew came over yesterday after we helped a relative of mine move. And we ate lunch and I was like, hey, do you want to watch a movie? Do something. He's like, yeah, let's watch a movie. And I showed him some of the movies that I had and he was trying to figure out what he wanted to watch. And he decided that he wanted to watch a Quentin Tarantino film because he had never seen
How
one.
Old is he?
He's 14.
Oh, okay. I hear nephew and I'm picturing like he's 14. Little kid. Right?
So,
that's still a little kid.
He looks at the stuff and he's like, I don't know. These both look really good. And he was looking at Kill Bill and he was looking at Inglourious Bastards.
Right.
Yeah.
And he was like, which one's a better movie? And I said, if I was looking at it as like a cinematic person, I would probably say Inglourious Bastards is a better movie, like maybe more artistic quality. But I said, I think you're probably going to have more fun watching Kill Bill.
Right.
And he was like, no, he was like, I've seen parts of Kill Bill. I kind of don't really want to watch it. And he ended up watching Inglourious Bastards. And he was like, what's it about? And I was like, it's like there's a plot to kill Hitler. There's a bunch of American Jews that are like scalping Nazis and killing. He was like, dude, that sounds fucking awesome. Like, let's watch that one. And I could tell 20 minutes into it, he was so fucking bored because it's a slow movie.
Yeah.
What it's about, but it's not all that.
It doesn't happen
all
at once.
And I even told him, I was like, I think you'll probably enjoy Kill Bill better because of that expectation, because let me fight 1,000 ninjas and have a chase and I got a fucking katana. And I mean, Kill Bill is that type of movie that's just action.
See, but you guys are equating it to like everything stepping up. I think if you looked at yourself when you were young and you wanted to watch this boring movie that your parents wanted to watch, we couldn't do it. As a kid, being a kid, you couldn't do it.
I'm saying you would choose the crazier, though. Like, when I was little, we had two VHS tapes. One of them had Neverending Story, and I watched it a billion times. And then the other tape was on super long play, so the quality and tracking was really bad, which we had. It had Rad Racing, Goonies, and Ferris Bueller's Day Off. That was my options to watch. That was my Netflix. I could put those two tapes
Rad
in.
Rad, for sure.
And I could watch that. And I watched the shit out of those tapes. Yeah. So you didn't have
an Neverending Story was so slow and boring for me,
but that's what I had to do. It was that or go climb a tree. And we did, I had a tree house and we did stuff. So I'm saying like based on what's available, like there's so much crazy information activities. As soon as I got an Atari, guess what I did? Do nothing but play Atari.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's all I wanted to do was play that video game.
I think it's person by person because I wasn't like that.
Really?
I mean, like that's what I'm saying. Like these studies, they're so boxed in and just random.
Well, there's outliers for sure.
Yeah, I mean there is, and maybe it's an exception, but I think it's
there's
bullshit.
No one like you, Brad. Let's just put that off the table right now.
Well, I was
quit using
say
you for comparison.
I said I forgot what the fuck I was gonna say earlier, but with your college students, with adults, that's what I was gonna say. With adults, nobody wants to be the same as the person next to them. So of course they're not all gonna raise their hand and say they watched American Idol. Because they don't want to be like the person next to them.
Unless they watched it before, it's cool. They watched it in Europe.
Yeah, you watched the first two seasons and then you stopped because that's when it was cool. You know, so like I think as adults, like, and I'm like that. I don't want somebody to have the same fucking front bumper on their Jeep as me. You know what I mean? I want my headlights to be different. I don't want the same gun as this
guy.
I think
that's kind of unique to you though. I would argue that most adults want every, it's like, I mean, drive out to, you know, in the town we're in, drive out to Rosedale, and it's like you're going to see the same fucking truck, the same fucking house color. You walk into the houses, it's the same decorations, it's the same shit they bought at Costco, the same outfits, the same haircut.
Yeah,
it's
motherfuckers like copying each other.
You remember the
that
the short,
pissing me off just thinking about it.
That short blonde haircut with it high in the back, and it was like burgundy and black underneath. Like every Brosedale woman had that forever. You walked into Walmart, and it was just those bobbed haircuts with under red. On everybody.
Those are the...
I don't know what that's called.
What the fuck are they called? They call them something.
Broho.
No.
That is it.
Some of you just fucking made people mad.
Their whatever. Wife, there's still some women
like,
rocking
their
that.
Their wife's like, fucking, this guy's talking shit about me. Where's he at? I'll go to that fucking basement and beat his face in.
Broho and a tramp.
Let me shoot
camp.
These roids up. Anyway.
Silence.
Ooh. I was just letting it build to a crescendo.
I digress.
Okay, let me say the last couple things I have about children and television, because we've mostly been focusing on one side effect.
Can I interrupt you real quick and throw this in?
Yeah.
Because you talked about reading would be better, you know, with your kids than having them watch TV.
Mm-hmm.
This says TV can act as a catalyst to get kids reading. What do you think about that?
Yeah, it can be used as a tool.
But it says follow up on TV programs by getting books on the same subject or reading authors whose work was adapted for the programs.
No,
now,
I think
that's bullshit.
What aspect of it?
Well, I guess if you're looking at it from kids' point of view, like if they're watching a certain show and you have them read the book, well, maybe fuck.
I'm just saying, if you read to your kid every single day and didn't let him watch TV until he was two or three, and then you take the other kid that just sat there and watched Dora the Explorer and whatever, you know, the Monster High stuff.
And as you gave that kid who never saw TV a TV, he's never going to read again.
Probably, like, he wants to do that. But he would read way better than the other kid. Like, his brain developed. Well, unless the other kid was already problematic.
I mean,
well, no, and
I think those are just, you're jumping to conclusions on certain
things. Well, but I also think, I mean, I think that's a good point about the reading. I think there are circumstances where television can definitely get people to. I mean, I think the same thing with movies. It's like, I can't imagine how much the Harry Potter movies made a whole generation of children want to read books, because a lot of them who had never read it saw the first one and then they were like, oh shit. And then they went and started reading all these Harry Potter books or whatever. I know tons of people who watched all the Lord of the Rings stuff, then went and read Lord of the Rings. I mean, I know that can definitely happen, but that specific thing about the reading, I was saying for children who are under two, who really can't read themselves yet, you're reading to them. And
if you're one or two and you can't read, I mean, Jesus
something
Christ.
Wrong with
just kill your babies. We talked about it.
I was saying the children can't even read yet. I was just saying that the reading is going to help to socialize them more than the television is.
I said cheese and rice because I can't help. It's like obsessive compulsive. You say Jesus Christ, I say cheese and rice.
I'm going to start saying
cheese and rice.
Odin or something.
Cheese and rice.
Nice. So let me say my other couple of bad elements, and then I'll let Brent chime in.
Yeah, a couple kid things too.
Because I don't have anything.
Brad, you just disagree with us.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Some of the other bad things, just a quick
little fucking bullshit, Dave. I'll tell you what right now. I mean, I'll tell you why.
Statistics showed that children who consistently, you know, again, looking at averages, children who consistently spent more than 4 hours a day watching television are significantly more likely to be overweight. Kids who view violent acts on TV are more likely to A, show aggressive behavior, but B, they're even more likely to have a fear that the world is a scary and violent place and something bad is going to happen to them. Which was an interesting, because everybody I know always says, oh, you watch violent television, it's going to make you more violent. And I've read a lot of contesting stats on that. But the more and more that I read, the more people are saying it doesn't really make you more violent, but it makes you more empathic
open
towards
to
violence, and it makes you more afraid. Just like the local news, if it bleeds, it leads. You watch the news. Everyone I know who watches the news every night locks their fucking door and they're paranoid and they're like, someone's going to get raped and someone's going to get stabbed. And I'm like, yeah, one out of 300,000 people.
Yeah.
Like, that's the stats. But when you watch TV, you think it happens to everybody. So it's like,
every night,
you know, right, exactly. So I think it does distort that. I know Brent's.
The gaining weight in children, there was a really cool study done where they measured the child's metabolism while watching TV versus not watching anything, staring at the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And staring at the wall
is harder to do.
No, their metabolism was higher staring at the wall than it was watching TV, because as soon as they zoned in and just sat there and watched TV, they kept completely still. Their breathing lowered, everything went down, their heart rate went down, and it actually slowed their metabolism. So not only is the lack of activity that they're not climbing a tree while they're watching TV, their metabolism actually significantly slows down while they're watching TV, because kids fidget and do so much and move around when they're doing stuff. So even staring at the wall, they were active, like, oh, I'm messing with my hands.
That's
I'm
because
looking
they were yeah, they're probably being fucking getting like anxiety that they're just staring at a wall. Yeah.
I think that's why Wilson Fisk stares at the white painting in Daredevil.
So
I don't know who that is.
Lose weight. No,
you don't watch Daredevil? Okay.
I don't like that show. It's too gory.
Yeah.
You're too gory.
It's way gory, dude.
You're watching Vikings right now?
That's my people.
Really?
That's my people, though.
Yeah, true. Okay.
Well, gotcha. Superhero are my people, so I
Yeah. So, okay. So my take on that, again, in somewhat of a disagreement, not with the stat, because I believe that, yeah, if you sit down and watch TV, you're probably, your metabolism is
Brad watched so much TV when he's a baby, he can't say that.
Metabolism is lowered. Now, the other factor in that is if you're fucking, your kid's going to get fat genetically. If you're all fat in your family, and I'm not being mean here, if everybody in your family's fat, your kid's probably going to be fat.
I think a lot of that
if
has
you're feeding
to do with
chicken McNuggets,
what you feed him, yeah.
If right. you're feeding him chicken McNuggets and he's already predisposed or she's already predisposed to being overweight, they're probably going to get fat. And if you let them just sit there, yeah, it's going to happen.
But you can't say TV isn't a big factor. You can't say that if you take a kid who spends 4 hours a day after school playing and climbing trees and throwing a ball and riding their bike and being outside playing.
I can say that.
That kid isn't statistically more likely to be in good shape than a kid who just got home and sat on their ass and watched TV for 4 hours.
I think it has a lot to do with genetics, because my daughter's on softball team.
No. You're saying that 4 hours of calorie burning exercise is no different than 4 hours of stillness on a couch.
You can go outside and spend 4 hours playing for the whole time and running around for the whole time and come in and eat a half a pizza. You're still going to be fat.
You're combining both, though. We're saying if you eat healthy and exercise and don't watch TV, that fat kid won't be fat probably.
That's not a real world situation, though. That's what I'm saying. Like, they're taking these kids and they're putting them on these like lab rat statistics. Like, oh, if we take this kid and just set him here, like, yeah, that might be the case, but that doesn't, it's not the exact cause. That is not the exact cause of why they're more overweight.
No, they're not saying it's the specific. But if I look at a statistical study of 100,000 children, and I find that statistically 70% of them or whatever that watch TV all this time are more obese, I can't dismiss that.
What's their diet, though?
I know that's a factor, but you're completely dismissing television as being a factor when the stats are showing obviously there's a correlation.
I think it's a point the finger thing, because there's kids that could go outside and play and not play as hard as the other kid. Does that mean that one's going to be fatter?
Well, maybe, but that's why you have a giant pool of statistics. Right. That's why you get an average of 10,000 kids, because it will average out and give you a high probability.
Who
towards
are they?
One
what
set.
Region are they in? Which makes a difference.
It could be like, yeah, economics could play a factor.
I'm not saying it's totally wrong. I'm just disagreeing the fact that they're making it out to be like, if you sit there and watch TV, you're going to get fat.
Well every study isn't going to be that cut and dry. Studies are going to include diet, and they're going. I mean, we don't have the studies in front of us, so I can't say it. But I mean, I'm just saying, even if all I'm doing is slowly walking instead of climbing trees and running and playing aggressive football, if all I'm doing is slowly walking for 4 hours, I've burned X hundreds of calories more than my brother who just sat on the couch for 4 hours.
36.
You don't know.
Only 36
calories. Maybe
he's playing
WWE on the Xbox and is going crazy.
You know what sucks? Getting on the...
No, he's watching television.
Maybe he's watching... At the gym, and it tells you how many calories you burned, or like the stationary bike.
And it's like 30.
You bust your ass for that's like a fucking sad. Hour. You're sweating, and it's all 136 calories. And then you're like,
really?
Fuck, that's like 4 Doritos, dude. Like, fuck yeah. This. I'm just not going to eat the Doritos. No, so to support your point, obviously, like in low-income households, like kids probably don't have a TV and they play more, but maybe they eat all the dollar store food and they're still fucking fat.
Yeah, I mean,
where in a hippie household, they don't have a TV because they're like, oh, you're going to program my child that don't do it under 2, but they're eating fucking Dave food, you know? Egg rolls and barbecue sauce.
I think there's pluses and minus to anything. I mean, obviously, you don't want to sit around and just veg out on TV. But obviously, you don't want to not do it either. You know what I mean?
Veg out on veggies. Sort of, yeah, that's going to be my new anti-TV campaign. Yeah. Veg out on veggies.
I don't know. I think that people try and blame things that aren't necessarily the complete cause of, you know, like obesity, like, or kids being violent. Like you mentioned them being violent. I don't think that has anything to do with it.
Okay, let me give you this one. University of Michigan read over 2,000 scholarly studies debating whether or not television increases aggressive behavior in children. Over 2,000. Mm-hmm. All but 18 statistically came to the conclusion that television causes more aggressive behavior in children. So 2,000 studies that each looked at thousands of children, 18 of them said television does not influence the children in an aggressive way.
What were they watching?
I'll tell you this. When I was little, I may have sat still for an hour and a half to watch Rocky, but I was whooping some in-the-air ass after Rocky was over. Like, I was punching and fucking running, finding some stairs, right. Karate Kid. I was doing fucking wax on, wax off.
Dave just beat up his mic.
I did.
No, I just find it hard to believe. And I know everybody's different, but I don't think that me watching a show where there's explosions and car races made me be the way that I am. I honestly don't believe that. Mm. That's like if
okay, I'm just reaching the point where I'm like going to realize everything we say about children having an effect by television. Brad's going to shoot down and ignore all statistic evidence and scholarly happen to him.
No, it's impossible. I'm just saying, like, I'm trying to get a grasp on what that means. You know what I mean? I'm trying to understand, because if that's like saying that my kids are going to grow up and be violent.
It's just in a generalized statistic. Yeah.
Statistics are bullshit.
Well, that's what I'm saying. We're just saying that in generalized thing. I will say this, that
statistics are not bullshit. I mean, if we have 2,000 fucking studies and each of them looked at thousands of children, how can you not see a societal pattern about television having an impact on aggression?
I think you guys can agree on this. So what Dave is saying, in general, that fact is true. Like, if I drop this whiskey glass off the thing 10 times, you know, one time it might not break, you know. That's all he's saying. In general, there are people that are exception to the rule. There's people that have hypothyroidism and they're going to be fat no matter what, or skinny no matter what, or, you know, they have a six pack when they're six because they're genetic little phenoms
and they can
eat pizza all day.
And I'm,
it's just not in general good for your kids to do it. Probably. It really isn't. They didn't have it before. It's not nature.
I'm not for TV, but
I will argue I don't think.
But I'm against statistics.
I don't think that why your kid's fat or why your kid is violent is because of TV.
Why do you,
you have to be a fucking parent. Like, if you let them act a certain way, that's what they're going to do.
For sure. But the type of parent that's letting their kid just fucking veg out and watch TV is probably not some great, awesome parent.
But they could go hang out with kids that do that cause violence and do the same thing.
That's true. I think it's the medium.
Well, and maybe I am, but I think it's not necessarily the medium. It's just what they're doing. You know what I mean? Who they're around and what's influencing them.
When I watch Karate Kid, dude, I wanted to go out and get all Karate Kid. You watch the Vikings, you probably want to smash heads, right?
I've always wanted to do that, though.
I know, but it incites that. It hypes that up. It amplifies it for sure. Like, when I was a little kid, I didn't want to be a boxer or something, right? But you watch Rocky and you're fucking stoked for 2 hours.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just different.
Dude, I'll tell you this. My son is six. Didn't give a damn about baseball. They watched Sandlot the other day. Baseball, everything right now, dude. He cut out pieces of paper that made a little baseball guy with a hat. He dug a baseball out of the garage somehow that he found that I had from some Dodger game when I was little that did have some signatures on it but does not anymore. I don't know who the signatures were anyway. They're gone.
Daryl Strawberry and Earl Hershiser.
He wants to play catch.
1988 Dodgers.
Yeah, that could have paid for his college education. Yeah.
He came out with some Lego things. He's like, this is a bat. This is we're playing baseball, Dad. Can we throw this? Like, And he didn't care at all. Now he wants to play baseball based off the fact he watched Sandlot. You know what I mean?
So you're saying that watching TV made him want to go out and exercise.
Yeah.
Now we have a different point.
No, I said that point earlier. I said I may sit still for an hour and a half, but I might have made up for it with karate kicks to the air and sand the floor after I finish watching Karate Kid, you know? So
anyway, what's the next? We can argue about this all day long.
We'll move
I'm still going to be right. So
let's get off of kids.
Yeah, let's get insert, off of kids, yeah, bro.
I was slowly
what?
Saying that to
yeah,
you.
He was waiting for some, yeah.
That was a leading comment, sir. Okay. I was giving it to you.
So who had the floor?
I was just going to say a couple more things, Brad, you can hate on this, but during their life, children see, or during their TV watching, they see 2,000 beer and wine ads per year, which kind of states my point from earlier of like, if you let your kids watch Netflix, it's probably better than letting them watch just generalized TV.
Sure.
Because they're not going to see that stuff.
As long as you're monitoring it, because they can watch anything on Netflix. Right.
This one's kind of crazy. It was, does violence matter for that whole thing? By age 18, the average kid that has watched TV, like the normal American, has seen 200,000 violent acts and 16,000 murders by age 18.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's good.
Which my wife has probably ruined my kids. She watches that show Bones, not anymore. But we would like be eating dinner and I would look over and there'd be like maggots crawling out of an eyeball. And you're like, dude, really?
Somebody's got to be a bone statistician or whatever they're called.
I think it's a bone statistician.
Yeah, I think that's right. It is now. Fuck it. That's a better name than whatever they got.
I'm writing that down. He's trying to get down. Where's the thing I wrote on? Yeah, I have a, what was it?
Oh, you have
Swellomax.
Swellomax. Bone statistician. Yeah. I
understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
I can't deny the rest of it.
Yeah. And maybe other people have kids that should be killed, you know, early on in their life. Because they're going to turn into they're going to turn into shit people. But I don't know.
Okay, so how about this? They did a lab test on mice for overstimulation from TV. So they took lab rats and they played TV, I think, next to the cage and had flashing colors and music for 6 hours a day for 42 days on an isolated test group, and super overstimulated the rats.
Clockwork Orange.
Yeah. And then they had a group of rats the same age from like the same genetic offspring in a separate thing that wasn't exposed to that type of activity at all. They just did normal rat stuff, eat, drink, run around their cage. There's a really cool behavior that you can observe on rats is like they have a lot of predators in life. Cats are trying to get them. People are trying to get them. Everyone's trying to kill a rat. So they have this big open metal pan inside of an enclosed container. And if you let the rat walk, it will stay only on the perimeter of the cage, right? It only walks right up against the glass all the way around. It will never take risks or venture out into the middle of the container. The overstimulated rats that had 6 hours a day of TV for 42 days, they show this pattern. They don't care at all. They're just like all over the place. They zigzagged all over that thing and it increased their risk taking as well as, that's called the open field test. But then they also did a cool thing where they put two objects in the cage, let the rat go in there. The inquisitive nature of the rat is that they would go and spend time looking at the objects equally, and then they take one object out and put a new object of interest in, and the rats that weren't overstimulated went over and inquisitively like examined the object 60% more than the overstimulated rats. They couldn't focus. They lost their inquisitiveness. They couldn't look at they didn't care about the object. They're just fucking running all over the cage, looking at the wall, looking at the other thing, crawling all over stuff. Where the ones that didn't have that overstimulation still had that sense of like, what is this? This curiosity, trying to learn about what was in there. So I think there's definitely something to be said for that. I know humans aren't rats, but it shows.
That's what I was going to ask. Did they do this on children?
No, they did not put him in the cage with an object of interest. Well,
I think if you're going to compare it to people, you have to do it to people.
Well, like, we're not allowed to do that.
Why not? You can do it to rats, Dave.
Will you let your kids be in a cage for 6 hours for 42 days watching TV?
Not my kids. It's these other fucking retard kids that are going to turn into killers from watching TV.
Ooh.
I just think that's I don't think that's an accurate study on 1,000 levels. One of which is being, I don't think we're really checking rat's ability to watch a televised show so much as a rat's ability to survive fucking psychological torture.
Yeah.
Like that's, I mean, that's fucking psychological torture. How many hours?
6 hours a day for 42 days, just which like, is on average. That's like, the Americans watch 5 to 6 hours of TV per day.
Yeah, but I'm not being
day.
Fucking, I don't have my eyes ratcheted advanced. Open and I'm being forced to fucking watch it.
Yeah, because like, what type of device did they put the rat in to force them to watch it?
No, it was just,
you know what I'm saying?
Was,
if you picture that. Picture
you could look
in your
it
head.
Up. It was just like, it might not have even actually been TV so much. It was like the primary colored lights, kind of like your I'm Not Home TV thing, that flash with music or sound and audio going at the same time. So there's some type of audio visual stimulation provided for 6 hours.
Kind of in the back.
What's this I'm not home TV thing?
Shh.
there's a device. I mean, there's
no
there's
one knows a, where you live. Let's just no talk about it.
There's a thing. It's TV related. It's called fake TV. And it's just, it's a little box. It's, I don't know.
Dave's paranoid as fuck.
3 inches by 3 inches maybe. And it's just a bunch of LED lights and you plug it in and you aim it towards a window in the front of your house, as long as the curtains are shut. And the LED lights in it are programmed to just randomly change. So if you're on the outside of the house and you look at it, it looks exactly like there's a television on in that room.
Now that I'm thinking about it, that's pretty much the device they had next to the rat cage when I'm looking at the picture. Yeah.
So
it's like Home Alone, you know, when you put the mannequin on the train set or the record player or whatever it was, so it looked like people were moving around inside.
So if you're outside and someone's got the fake TV plugged in, it looks like there's someone in that room with the lights out watching television, and there's really just a box randomly flashing colors towards
it. So this is for people who don't actually have a TV.
No, you have a TV, but you want people to think you're home.
Oh, you have a TV?
Yeah.
Really?
But you don't want to leave it on.
Why? What's the difference?
Power consumption.
Well, for one thing, you can't. Well, A, power consumption, and B, where the way my house is laid out, where my TV is, you couldn't tell from the front I was watching TV. So
it's
my bedrooms are on the street.
So you've created trickery.
Yes. It is wizardry.
That's kind of a cool idea. I don't know. They're probably a lot of those are sold. Dave's crazy though. He won't let the gardener come if he's not home.
Well, no, I don't have gardeners that do the back, so they don't go in my backyard.
Yeah,
no,
I don't
they
know.
Don't.
I am paranoid.
You think because the gardeners are coming in or the dogs are getting out or both?
Both. They run over your turtles too.
Anything. Just anything. I don't want someone on my property if I'm not home.
My sisters had a turtle and they left it in the backyard at my grandma's house and the gardeners came. Turtle was gone.
I like how Dave said, I don't want someone on my property. The white was just coming out in Dave right now.
No, I hear of all kinds of people.
Is it because they're Mexican,
no,
Dave?
It's because if someone's on my property and fucking trips and falls and breaks their knee, I'm fucking liable for their dumbass falling and tripping and breaking their knee because they did it on my property.
I think that's like the thing, that someone breaking your house and murdering you. I don't feel like that happens very often, that the gardener trips and falls and breaks their knee. Who breaks a knee? That's a weird injury. Not breaks
and
their
leg. Does whatever. So one of the people who are on my property using very dangerous power tool with a fucking blade spinning 1,000 miles an hour cuts his fucking finger off on my property, and they can somehow sue me and I'm liable for it.
That is some like OCD. You need some pills for that, I think.
Speaking of OCD.
Gardener injury.
Yeah, I know I'm OCD. And it's not crazy OCD. Like, I don't got to touch the doorknob 5 times before I leave. It's like straight lines. Like, if I come into a room and there's business cards on the counter and they're uneven,
shit,
I got to straighten them up.
I don't have to, but it's itching a scratch. I enjoy it.
Yeah. I don't have to do it. I like things evenly spaced, you know, and if one thing's round, they all have to be round. If one thing's square, they all need to be square type thing. But I noticed, I don't know if it's getting worse, maybe, because I went to get a breakfast sandwich this morning and the bread was square and the bread was not squared up on top of each other. It was like one was like,
you could tell that one, the bagel was cut and rotated.
It was not the bagel, it was like a ciabatta bread.
And
so like the edges of the top one were hanging over.
Let's make
the
this clear that Brad's
one.
Talking about second breakfast.
No, that was first breakfast.
No, let's make it clear that there was a second breakfast that you ate.
Well, you
got
fucking
here.
Put that in the fucking, does it matter?
Eat it again.
Not my second breakfast.
What time was it when you ate that ciabatta
right
thing?
Right before I got here.
I know, and then you got here and went and bought a breakfast sandwich.
Yes, because I was still hungry.
Go ahead, square bread.
I watched a bunch of TV, okay? So my top bread was just crooked from the bottom bread, and it pissed me off.
That's why you were mad upstairs and you wanted to punch somebody?
Maybe. No, I've been mad. That's a whole nother story.
It's because you've been watching Vikings. What's up? I thought you had a Starbucks story for us. It was funny. You didn't open the show with
that. Well, that was it.
That was it?
Yeah.
That's no story at all.
No, that is it. If it rubs your OCD. I have one OCD thing, which is very strange.
I'll tell mine. I have an embarrassing one. We'll be friends.
My OCD thing is if I set an alarm on a digital clock or on my phone, like I'm setting the digital, if I need to wake up at 8 o'clock, I cannot set it for 8 o'clock. It drives me fucking crazy. It has to be 8:01.
That's kind of weird.
And if I'm setting it for 8:20 or 8:30, it's got to be 8:21. It's got to be 8. It drives me fucking crazy. And I'll try it. I'll be like, okay, I'm just going to leave it for 8. And like 20 minutes later, I'm like, I have to go back in and change that fucking thing.
Yeah.
It bugs me until I go in and fix it. It drives me. If it's like 8:15, doesn't bother me. But if it's a 0, it must be rolled up to a 1. That's my OCD.
That's weird.
Mine's kind of weird. I only eat my boogers on odd minutes on the clock. No, that's not it.
It's out there now. Like, there's no take backs. No take backs.
No, so this is a local one. But there's probably similar things. And I might have said this on the podcast. I don't remember anymore. I don't remember yesterday.
Yeah, we don't remember any podcasts. This is our first one.
We have something called the Garces Circle in Bakersfield. And it's to someone that doesn't live here. How many entrances are there to that thing? There's like 2, 3, 5.
4 or 5.
Maybe 5? 5 or 6. So yeah, it's a circle that you can enter from all kinds of...
I think it's 4. Yeah. It's like a 4-way stop
and
circle.
You really have to know what you're doing. And so when I was learning how to drive, that was like the obstacle of Bakersfield. Like, holy shit. Like, I didn't want to drive through it. I had super bad anxiety. So it was like total focus. Everything needs to be... No one talking. Everybody shut up. Don't talk to me. Turn off the radio. I am 37 years old. It's not that I'm nervous about it anymore. It's the fact that I don't want to break the record that I have never driven through the Garces Circle on my own accord with the radio on. So as I approach the Garces Circle, I pop the face of my stereo off in my car. So that there's
just
no
turn
way
it down.
No,
just,
because I'm afraid
don't
that
just
I might
power it off
because I might hit the volume like this. I can't give you shit
are
for
you
the Garces.
Freaking out?
This is really bad. No. It's a calm,
relaxed
thing.
You might hit the volume.
Or no, because I don't want. If I know if I pop the face, the thing's turning off. If I hit the volume, I could hit like the wrong thing. It didn't go down in time. I have to hit it multiple times.
Wow.
It's a for sure thing that I pop the radio off the face of it. Then I drive through the Garces Circle, and immediately upon exiting the Garces Circle, I just push the face back on my stereo, and it continues playing where I left off. But I have done it so many times that I don't want to break the ritual and the record because it's so long standing in my mind for me. I know that's really weird. And that's the motivation behind it is the record. I don't want to break the record.
Not OCD,
it's not
though.
It's not just that it's weird. It's that I just love the irony of the situation that you were so worried about driving through the most difficult intersection in Bakersfield that you've adapted to take on a strategy that makes you become a distracted driver every time you go through the most confusing intersection.
I don't know that it's autopilot. I approach it, pop.
Hey, how do you pop the face off while you're holding a burrito and your drink at the same time?
I try not to do that.
With your fucking knee.
And you've got your cell phone on your knee with a Netflix video playing.
It slightly escaped because I had to make a rule for myself if I'm in someone else's car at one point. I was like, I'm in someone else's car. They're going to go through the Garces Circle. Cause it was a long time before that happened. And I was like, fuck, what do I do? The radio's on.
Turn it
and
off.
I decided in my head,
punch the radio.
I think I did.
Shit can't come back on.
I turned it off a couple times. I think in the beginning and they're like, what are you doing? I was like, I had this thing. So then what I decided was,
why wouldn't you just tell them the story?
Because I didn't have time. Okay?
Or just get cunning. God. Just like as soon as you see you're coming up to it, like have like a important thing to say in the back of your mind just reach over, turn it off and go, oh, dude, check this out. And then say your thing and then you're through the intersection and they can turn the stereo back on.
Like he's fidgeting with a pin talking about it right now. So he's fucking nervous as shit.
What I ended up deciding was I just can't have any interaction having to do or associated with their radio for that 10 seconds or whatever we go through the Garces Circle, meaning I can't make a decision to change the station, turn it up, turn it down, or sing along to the lyrics that happen to be on the radio until I have exited the circle. So if I'm singing the song that's on the radio or anything or changing stations, I will just cease that activity until I've passed through the Garces Circle.
This makes no sense to me.
I understand. I'm not in control of it, okay? I know that that's weird. That's my thing. I gave it. It wasn't eating booger on odd numbers. It was that which was better.
So the real question is, which is stranger, the crooked sandwich, the alarm clock, or Garces Circle? And I leave that for our fans to decide.
I'm pretty sure I'm getting their vote. I thank you for your support. I'm sure I have your vote. Vote Bryn Van Tassel for OCD.
That's not really OCD, though. That's like...
for odd behavior? It's some kind of OCD. I think that's a...
That's in your head. You have mental disorders.
Well, I mean, if you've reached a point where you are compelled to do it...
It's an OCD.
Like, I think I would...
It would bother me.
Much about
that would
specific
be like...
Definition.
It would be more like if you were compelled to kick the driver out of the car while you were driving so you could turn the radio off. Like that would
no,
be,
that's not that crazy.
That's
but
more like psycho.
I'll say this. When I was a vegetarian, the same thing happened. I like tried to stop eating meat for 30 days. And then it was like, oh, I did it for 30 days. Like that's a, it's like a record breaking thing that I have. It's like, if I went that long,
that's not OCD though.
Then I OCD was like, almost 60. Like, then I went a year and I didn't want to do it because I was breaking the record. I, the best I could explain
it. It has nothing to do with the
because I had
record,
done it
though.
So long. It's sort of like a hoarder thing where you keep it because you've had it so long. You don't want to get rid of it, even though it's of no use to you. Like you have some endearing thing from your childhood that, that serves no function in life. And you hold on it simply because you've had it so long. My thing is because I've
so you're hoarding
done
records.
The thing so long, yeah. I can't stop
doing it.
That's
not OCD it. Though.
I'm hoarding an activity.
Can you walk by a picture frame that's crooked?
I would probably move it.
But you have to.
I don't have to move it.
If you're like in somebody else's house.
It would itch my scratch.
And
they're
watching you do it. Would you still do it?
Yeah. I went to Taco Bell a while back. Did I tell you about the interlaced Taco Bell sauce weave? I showed great appreciation that some employee or some patron had organized the Taco Bell sauce in such a way that it was a, like a weaved pattern, like how you weave bacon. You know what I'm talking about? Like they
I
laid
have
the
never
sauces.
Weaved bacon in my life.
Ah, vegetarian.
You know, I ate bacon for 35 bacon, fucking years. I'm just telling you, I've never weaved bacon,
I don't
know what
bacon
you're talking
either.
About.
I have no idea. It's like a criss-cut fry, but weaved bacon. Instead.
I don't believe you guys.
Really?
What is weave? I don't even know what weaved bacon
it's
is.
It's where
it
you like, lay out the bacon
like
in rows.
Is it like a bacon for black girls?
I'll just Google it because we're not talking about very much TV right now. I'll Google it while we're doing this.
Well, no, you've got to explain it because the viewers aren't going to see the picture that you show.
Viewers know what a bacon weave is. You guys are crazy.
We're not viewing anything.
So you lay down strips of bacon in one way and then you lay down the bacon the other way and then you fold over one row over the bacon, then you fold them over the other one. So it ends up like how like an Afghan or something, some type of blanket would be sewed. You know, like that type of pattern.
What the fuck?
To what end?
What for?
Then you
what
have.
Do you do with it?
Then you can wrap a chicken or some shit in it, or a tri-tip.
You wrap a tri-tip.
Mr. Barbecue, how do you not know what a bacon weave is? Come on.
I never wore a bacon weave.
You guys are communists.
Well, we're communists, Dave. Fucking what the fuck? Are we going to talk about any more TV? Or?
That's what I just said.
Yeah, give us. You had your list of good things about TV. Let's hear them. Because so far we've only talked about bad things about TV.
So I had a few things. So like the one we talked about was creating a shared culture experience with others for kids. TV can act as a catalyst to get kids reading. The other one was television can teach kids important values and life lessons. And again, this is very subject to what the fuck they're watching. Like that would be like a thing like, okay, we did a study with 2,000 kids and they watched this show and it made them in 18 years, they actually made better decisions than the ones who didn't watch TV. Like, what are they watching? You know what I mean?
I think the key is with that number, because some of the stuff that I read for the day basically said the exact opposite of that point. But I think they're both saying the same exact point. And the point is, depending on what you're watching, it's going to reinforce ideas. If you watch shows that are racially open-minded, you're going to grow up with a potential for influence of being more tolerant of other races.
I mean,
if you watch a bunch of show full of racists and whatever, you're probably going to grow up enforcing those stereotypes.
Yeah. Nobody's ever done that.
Everybody has.
Brent's showing us a picture of
a bacon weave. Looks like a basket.
Yeah,
I've never done that or
and then they like wrap things
that.
In it when they bake it so I've it's like a bacon
that
blanket
in my
that's
life,
what I should have said
that's
a bacon
a waste
blanket
of time. Why don't you just put the damn bacon on top of the food?
I don't know, man. I'm just saying I didn't invent it. All I wanted to really say, look, you can make a taco show with it. This one's ridiculous. That can't be real. Is that I was appreciating the OCD that someone organized the taco sauce in such that fashion of the bacon weave is all
I think they were bored. They probably had one hand in their ass crack.
I asked the employee and she said that they had some new like upper management that was requesting that little tiny things like that be that way. So like I think an OCD guy got
the
into
manager,
upper management at Taco Bell.
Jesus.
Because I saw it multiple Taco Bells actually.
I think it was like upper management just looking at their empire of Taco Bells and realizing I bring shit upon this world.
Yeah.
Like what is one small thing I can do that will make one person happy, and then they weaved their hot sauce
that's
like
funny.
Bacon.
I can believe that. So
what are some of your other positives? The last one was it can enforce good things.
Yeah.
And I think the important statement there is it can impact those beliefs positively or
either way.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the other thing, educational programming can develop young children's socialization and learning skills. So again, this is an opposite of one of the studies. We have one thing saying that it's good, one thing saying it's bad. And I honestly believe that's true. If you let your kids watch, or even adults, I mean, as adults watch certain things, they become prone to certain habits because that's what they've saw on TV.
And I think like in the, what was it? The thing that the American Academy of Pediatrics said, when they said that children should only watch so many hours of television, they specifically add the word quality television into that statement. And I think that's the type of thing they're talking about. They're saying, watch Sesame Street, watch something that's teaching you how to count or learn another language.
Yeah. Because I watched the Cosby Show and I have never once drugged a woman and had sex with her. So
really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think there's a lot of people like that. Maybe not yourself, but me.
I watched The Cosby Show and I never wore an ugly sweater or became a black doctor in the 80s.
That's what I'm saying. See, that's what I'm saying right there.
Yeah.
So news, current events, historical programming can help make young people more aware of other cultures and people. So this has a lot of cultural stuff. It's basically, I guess if you're in a small trailer park in Louisiana, and you only know of white people and, you know, you watch TV and suddenly there's colored people on there. It can give you some sort of cultural diversity.
Well, culturally, I saw a thing about China. Like before TV was widespread, the ruler of China had resisted having television at all. And in the outlying, you know, areas of China where people were very, very basic, like they were farmers, they wore, you know, drab clothes, just plain colored, whatever. Finally, he made the decision to allow to push television into those areas, and they ran all the lines and everything, and people started to get TV. Within like 2 years of that happening, there was like, this is no joke, like farmers with like Adidas jackets and stuff. Like they immediately, so to say that TV, that's a really good example to show how it changed culture and how it did increase certain things. So all of a sudden farmers wanted very specific things. They were like, oh no, we can't just use this fertilizer. Like Monsanto got their hand and there was like advertising this, like, oh, we want to buy this brand fertilizer.
Right, exactly. They were with the laces out.
Totally wearing Adidas like jackets and all kinds of crazy like Western cultured things, buying very specific products and brands. And all of a sudden, where there was no problem before with prostitution, they had a problem with prostitution women, because women wanted to look a certain way, to get makeup, to buy things that they needed, and they didn't have that opportunity economically to somehow make that money to buy that thing that they wanted, that they now saw on TV. Prostitution became a problem. Violence became a problem. Their crime rate increased. As soon as TV was introduced within 2 years, that was the variable and the defining factor and the catalyst for that activity to occur. So it definitely contributes to cultural things. Like everyone is being westernized, you know what I mean? Like everybody.
So they got the idea of prostitution from TV?
No, they wanted something. They wanted some material objects that they were seeing advertised on TV that they didn't want before, and their only means to get the money based
bullshit,
off of their...
Shit,
it's the truth, dude.
Prostitution has been around for thousands of years.
No, I'm saying it made prostitution come up. I'm saying in that particular area, prostitution was not a problem. TV was placed... Their need to purchase new things and want materialistic objects
increased.
Needed money, so they started prostituting themselves to buy the things.
If we take away TV from the ghetto, we're guaranteed to have less prostitution, less drugs.
No, not now.
Violence.
It's too late. They've seen it. If you started a whole new society with no TV that was in a jungle in some brick wall or something like The Village, and they didn't know of the outside and didn't see these things, they would be content to be like, oh, the crops are plowed and these things are happening and I'm going to go read my book by candlelight at the end of the night. But once you see that there's cool stuff like the Adidas jacket and their Sony Walkman,
well,
or whatever they wanted.
I have to agree with you, because I was listening to a radio show and they had Eli Roth on there. You guys know who Eli Roth is?
No.
He's a horror film director.
Okay.
And I'm trying to think of what movies he did, but he did a bunch of prominent movies, and he's kind of like the Quentin Tarantino of horror films.
Okay.
Put it best, I guess. Maybe somebody will shoot me online, but he said that they went into an indigenous village, and the people were not, they knew of the outside world. Right. You know, they would go into town. They knew that there were digital cameras. They knew that there were these things, you know, the internet and stuff, but they didn't have access to them. Mm-hmm. And he said, so they went into this indigenous area, to this village, and the people there wanted everything that they had. I mean, cameras, clothes, you know what I mean? They put them in jumpsuits, and they kept the jumpsuits, and they, I mean, they wanted absolutely everything. So I could see how that would work. I mean, if you don't have access or means to get, you know, what you're seeing and you want it, then yeah, that's going to happen.
I saw a crazy thing where there's like in the rainforest, there's a whole tribe that worships the Prince of Wales or something. Have you guys seen that?
No.
They have all these pictures and newspaper cutouts and things built, and it's all about like the prince. It's really weird because at some point in time he had visited, and coincidentally after he visited some medical event, like some, they had like a sickness in the village or something, yeah, and they attributed it
everybody
to his visitation
occurred.
And then they just went crazy, and it's the only thing they really know outside of their thing, and he became like a god in their village. Wow. Because they saw that. It's
that's
really
crazy.
Weird.
Wow.
I have a couple weird little propaganda things and subliminal messages. There's one really crazy one, and you guys tell me what you think about it. I could not confirm, and if anyone out there knows if it's true or not, I couldn't find either way. But I don't know if you guys remember, like, in early days of cable TV, at like midnight, it just went off. Like, right, there just wasn't any program after, yeah, midnight. Your ass, right, is supposed to be in bed. You're not supposed to be watching TV.
Yeah.
They would play the national anthem to put you, mm-hmm, to bed. If you look up online, national anthem propaganda or subliminal messages, there's this video. And I found it in multiple spots, but I can't be sure if it's real or not, or if it's something someone doctored. You can't really find the origin of it. No one has like the original 1960 tape that I can find. So no one said true or false on this. But in the messages at the scrolling bottom text, when it says, "Oh, say, can you see?" when it gets ready to go to the next line, it's like flip-flops and scrolls out in kind of a transition effect. If you play it back at super, super slow speed, as the letters change, you can read it in real time if you play it at like, you know, 8 speed slower or something, yeah, like that. These are the lines that read behind the lines. Super creepy and scary. I hope that it's not real, but it's like something from a movie. So these are the lines that it says as it's scrolling through the text of the national anthem. Trust the U.S. government. God is real. God is watching. Believe in government, God. Rebellion will not be tolerated. Obey, consume. Obey, consume. By MK Ultra, by MK Naomi. There's some weird debates about what that means.
MK Ultra.
Yeah, we know what MK Ultra is. Yeah. And then it says, worship, consume, obey, believe. And the last line is, do not question government. You can watch it online, but I mean, that doesn't make it true.
Yeah, because somebody could have doctored that video.
Yeah, somebody could have doctored it, and then that could have got spread. But you can't really find the origin of that. There is definitely subliminal stuff. I saw lots of cool stuff where people took like campaign smear ads where like Bush versus Gore.
This is my issue with that, though, is why would they put MK Ultra in there? Like in the lines,
it seems
to
weird.
The thing like that. That would be somebody like saying like, "Oh, look, it says MK Ultra right here." Like that, you know.
I mean, especially if it's in the '60s, like no one would even know what MK Ultra was. There would be no
unless
that
they had an agenda and they were going to release it as something and wanted to predispose you to that those terms or something. The other thing, the Naomi or whatever that is, it's Naomi, Naomi. I looked it up, and it has something to do with like bioagents and biowarfare. I don't know, man. It's really weird. But they do things like that. Like the Bush campaign, when they would show pictures of Gore, they would flash like a tenth of a second of rats before they show his picture. And there's tons of stuff like that you can find online that's legitimate.
Does your mind really pick that stuff up, though?
I don't know. It's that Fight Club cigarette burn thing.
That's the debate.
So the debate is, though, there are scientific studies showing that television, immediately when you start watching TV, within 30 seconds, your brain state changes to an alpha state, which is like a relaxed, acceptant state to take in information, because that's what it's doing, is taking information. Someone even went so far as to say that the current flicker rate or something, or at least the analog flicker rate, wasn't even a necessary necessary thing for broadcasting purposes. It actually had roots to the ability to intake information. That flicker rate is designed to put you in an alpha state so that you take in the information or something. And then they have this weird subliminal stuff and, you know, interjecting all this stuff to us and propaganda to try to teach you stuff, which I don't know, man. They did crazy stuff. They gave a bunch of black people syphilis. They did horrible things. You know what I mean? They do all kinds of crazy stuff. What's to say they're not doing something as simple as putting some words in the screen to test, you know, maybe they went and like did a study later and asked them, does this term mean anything to you, to see if people had absorbed it? Like, do any of these terms stand out? And someone's like, yeah, like, don't question the government and MK Ultra seem like I'm partial to those. You know, maybe they did a study after that to see if it absorbed. I don't know.
And they stopped doing it, or are they still doing it?
They don't do it, but it did bring up another point that I saw, is why was the government so insistent on mandating the digital switchover? So they're like, well, if they were doing this in the 60s, what are they doing now? And what crazy thing could they possibly be encoding into digital TV? I mean, it might have just been to keep everyone on the same page and have a broadcasting standard so that your technology was all on par, because they wanted to have an emergency broadcast. You know, they got that new thing where Obama can flip a switch and be on every channel like some scary like movie. You know, he just flips it and he can take over every single channel.
Yeah.
So what do you think? Real, fake?
I don't know. I gotta lean towards fake.
Just yeah, because there's so many nuts out there. Like, they're,
well, the stuff does exist though. You can find real ones.
I just think that particular the sign off with the at the end of the day thing, that particular, I haven't seen that video, but the phrasing in that video,
the MK Ultra makes it
like
weird.
The MK Ultra makes it weird.
That's what threw it off.
Even
for
the consume obey, like that's out of They Live, the movie from the 80s.
It's
like
the sunglasses the
wording of it. It's like,
supposedly known before that movie.
I wouldn't put shit past the government, but the phrasing of that just feels like some dipshit editing a video and putting it out online. I don't think
it's one of those.
It doesn't feel like what they would have said in the 60s. If you were gonna do something subliminal, I just can't see it being.
It would have been more wholesome. Like,
it wouldn't it wouldn't have been consume. It wouldn't have been like.
Yeah, it sounds like a Russian subliminal message, not like a
message.
There's all kinds of crazy stuff though. That, like, because we don't speak German, like you can take all the presidents and there are like Hitler quotes that they use constantly, verbiage and terminology that was straight out Hitler's speeches.
That's fine, because Hitler was one of the greatest leaders.
He was a master rhetorician.
He was a mastermind of
and the presidents
who
don't write their
him.
Speeches anyway.
No, they don't.
It's like some dude was like, who studies speeches for a living, was like, oh,
this
I hate to say it, but he kind of nailed it here.
Yeah. This one's going to work.
Not
right
so
here.
Much propaganda masters. I wanted to say, in 1948, there was a law passed making it illegal for the government to use propaganda against its own citizens. Mm-hmm. But in May of 2012, the Smith Modernization Act, H.R. 5736, was an amendment to the 1948 bill, making it legal to use the internet, media, publication, press, radio, motion picture films, and social media, as well as giving themselves the power to place propaganda directly into the archives, making the lies official history. So they made it legal in 2012 to use propaganda against their own citizens again by amending the 1948 bill.
I want to stop us there and leave that open. Because that's a whole nother topic,
right?
As far as the podcast goes, so I think we covered TV. Well, on
I think
a,
we could have
kind
TV
of one
part
side
two.
Of it. Yeah,
yeah. Could, there's advertising.
I mean, there's
tons
so
of
much
stuff to
it.
Still say about. I mean, we could just talk about TV shows themselves.
Yeah,
I mean, it is a deep well.
Yeah. So if there's something we missed that you know listeners want to hear us maybe cover, or if you don't care, you know, then whatever. But propaganda, I think, is something we can get into. If you're interested in it, hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com/sofakingpodcast, on Twitter. You can get to us at sofakingpodcast.com, and leave a message on our episode posts. And
I want to say one more thing. I wanted to give a shout out to Project VCR. That's my buddy's podcast. They're on like episode 6 or something coming up. It's actually pretty cool. I didn't know that I'd be into it. It's Vintage Cinema Review, which is clever, Project VCR. So they review old movies. They did Mad Max. They did Transformers, the 1984 cartoon.
Okay.
And somehow managed to talk about the movie for 2 hours, and the movie's like an hour and a half. But man, they point out some crazy, weird, dark, depressing things. I just finished listening to that Transformers podcast. They did Dr. Strangelove. They covered Terminator. And then I'm actually on the date that Marty goes to the future in Back to the Future 2 was October 21st, 2015, at 4:29 a.m. So their podcast for Back to the Future 2 review is going to get released on October 21st, 2015, I think at 4:29 a.m.
Nice.
And they've asked me to go on the podcast. So I'm nervous because these guys are like super film buffs. But I think it'll be a really interesting contrast for like, what did they get right? What did they get wrong in Back to the Future?
Oh, that'll be dope.
So go check that stuff out. It might entice you to watch a movie. I started watching Dr. Strangelove so that I can listen to that episode because I actually haven't seen it. But I did finish all the way through their, not Mad Max, Transformers. And I can't remember what the first one is. I'm missing one right now. But just look them up, Project VCR. You can find them on iTunes. If you have the Podcast Attic app, you can find it too. So, but they're cool guys.
Sweet. Anything else, Dave? Sponsors?
I think we hit the sponsors.
We didn't hit sponsors. Man, Red Ridge Beard Co., which we haven't given you any beard oil. Somebody with a beard, get on here and comment. Like, we need to give away some beard oil.
We have shit to give away.
We got some bottle openers. We got coffee mugs. We got some cool stuff. We need someone to contribute. And no offense to the people that do contribute, but someone get brave and get on there. We have like the longstanding, like famous six people that constantly comment on there, which we love you. Thank you for doing it.
Yeah, keep doing it.
But man, tell your friend to get on there and say something so we can give them something. Like, we want to give away some prizes. We just don't have any social media participation. And it would be great if you guys could do that.
Yep. Red Ridge Beard Company.
Digital Creations.
Digital Creations. We'll give Baco Skate Show. Baco Skate Show.
Baco Skate Show. Yeah.
Baco Skate Company. Shout out. And of course, as always, go to Amazon.com and look for the book Chama, New Mexico, a six paradigm novel by David J. Moten.
That's right.
Our very own. And purchase it. Get it. I think it's 50 cents right now on special.
50 cent.
No. Go and get the book and read it and give Dave some feedback. So he is releasing some. You have two more books you're releasing?
Two more books with that one.
So give him some feedback on that and he'd appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
And as always, download our podcast. Listen to us on Savage Radio on Thursdays from 5 to 6 p.m. If you are in the Bakersfield area. And if you're not, fuck you.
If you're not, you can use the TuneIn Radio app, and it's a live feed, actually.
There you go. I didn't mean
that. You
don't
have to go fuck yourself.
I didn't mean that. If you want to go fuck yourself, you can.
By all means.
Because that's always fun to fuck yourself sometimes.
But yeah, TuneIn Radio, just look up Savage Radio, Bakersfield. It'll come up as a station.
So and if that's it, another episode in the history books.
That's right.
And remember, don't be a retard.